Who had a, or who has a WWJD bracelet? You don't have to raise your hands. You never have to, just so you know, ever. But does anybody, you know, what would Jesus do? Now, I didn't realize this, but did you know that's that saying actually originated in the late 1800s? I thought it was early 90s. It sort of was the rage that you'd have one of those colorful bracelets with WWJD on. But in fact, it goes back to a series of sermons given by a minister in Topeka, Kansas, named Charles Sheldon. So what he would do at the end of every question, at the end of every sermon on Sunday, he would end it with, "What would Jesus do?" Cliffhangers. He was just trying to get more people back to church the next week so they could find out what Jesus had in fact done. It's really interesting that that turned into the bracelets. Now, the inspiration and, you know, both the marketing of the cliffhanger sermons and then thinking about Jesus' life and work in the world are inspired. But like anything, it can get sideways pretty quick. It gets sideways pretty quick. Especially when the WWJD becomes some sort of litmus test to either an understanding of Jesus or an understanding of your behavior or a test of your faith. In other words, it just becomes another scorecard. So take, for instance, the funny story I heard last week about WWJD. And it was a pastor who had gone all in on WWJD. That was just going to be his thing. And so incorporated in his writings and his sermons. And then one Sunday morning, he's like, "I'm going to really play it out now." So he took a $20 bill and he stuck it right by the narthex door. And before anybody had arrived. And at the end of the sermon, at the end of the service, he was greeting people outside the church. And towards the end of the greeting line, a man came up to him sort of sheepishly and said, "Hey, Pastor, did anybody lose a $20 bill in church today?" And the pastor said, "No, not that anybody's notified me." "What are you going to do with it?" Pastor asked this man. And the man sort of looked at him, pausing. And the pastor followed up with, "WWJD. The man looked at him and said, "Perfect. That's easy. I'm going to turn that $20 into wine." Come on, that was pretty good, right? But tests go astray so quickly, don't they? They veer far off the intended consequence, far off the goal. Today, we experience Jesus going through a series of tests in the wilderness. He's in the desert. He's getting tested by that famous wormwood, to quote C.S. Lewis, or the devil. And this serpent, this wormwood, is just oh so smooth. It's how the devil operates. He's a, the devil's a smooth operator. C.S. Lewis wrote in his Screwtape Letters two things to think about with the devil. The first is some people totally ignore the devil, ignore sin. They just run away. They usually get bitten in the middle of the night, on a side note. And then the second category of people are people that pay way too much attention to the devil. And here's the kicker, according to Lewis, the devil likes both categories. The devil likes both categories. Because sin, the devil, evil, wormwood, the serpent, there's a lot of names, but there's a real power in this real world that has real efficacy, real claim on our lives, and their powers that try to corrupt, to use Paul's language, and distort our relationship with God and one another. In other words, it's serious business, this devil in this world. And the devil is just really smooth. Look at the assault on Jesus in today's gospel. So there's two deep motifs going on here. The first is you got the 40 days imagery. Okay, so there's sort of a backwards reading here that would say that we're recreating Israel's 40 days, right? So there's sort of this wilderness idea that Moses has wandered in, that the Israelites have gone in. And then we have the devil twisting and using God's own words to try to ensnare Jesus in a trap, to tempt him. You should remember something about that from that serpent all those years ago in the garden that used God's own words to manipulate Adam and Eve. So, temptation. He goes after his bodily needs first. And I don't know about you, but that'd be an easy one for me to fall, right? Because the text tells us, like, when the Bible puts something in there, like, he hadn't eaten in 40 days, he was hungry. He's like, well, of course he was hungry. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. So what does the devil go right for? Well, just make these stones bread. In other words, you'll be satisfied. Those pains that you're feeling in your 40-day empty stomach will be filled. He hadn't eaten. But he says no. So the second, the devil raises it. He goes after the ego. Claim what's yours, we hear. Here's the devil's trick. He knows who Jesus is. And so he's trying to encourage him out of his humble posture and just take over. In other words, the devil's offering Jesus a leveraged buyout of God's kingdom. Like, we can take it down together, you and me. Jesus says no. He resists. I don't know if anybody has seen the TV show Succession. It's on HBO. Go watch it if you want, but it's got a lot of crassness in it. But it's about a family, sort of loosely modeled after the Murdoch family, the Fox News, that whole conglomerate, and their wars over who's going to take over. For Logan is the main dad for Logan's place as the CEO. But it's just constant backfire, constant maneuvering. Now, that's sort of out of reach of our lives, but think about before you have a big dinner party or even a family gathering when you pull in people that may have tensions with one another and that phone message starts coming in of, where do you want, can I sit by so-and-so or can I do this? The maneuvering happens oh so quickly in all of our lives. He's going right after that. You can have it, Jesus. Let's maneuver together and escape God and run the world. Jesus says no. So again, he goes after his core identity as being God. He says, I'll take you to the top of the temple. And you jump off of it. And if you're the Son of God, if you're truly who you say you are, God's going to save you. So throw yourself off. Now, Jesus answers all of these conditional statements, the if then. You notice each one has an if and then, with declarations of God's sovereignty and God's presence in the world. In other words, he not only resists the temptation, he pushes back and says, no, you can't touch me. Now, Jesus isn't doing this so that we can have a roadmap for WWJD. He's not doing this so that we can have a roadmap for better living. He's doing this to protect us and to clean us from the assaults on our sins, from the temptations that we experience weekly, daily, hourly, minutely. Because Paul writes in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Hear that. Hear that again. But one, Jesus, who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. How does this work? You might think about it like a bullfight. I don't think there's any coincidence besides maybe that bulls only can see red, but the red flag. And the bull is trying to charge. And you move the flag to redirect the evil. To redirect the bull. Well, so it is with Jesus. His going into the wilderness, being tempted like we are every single day, yet without sin, is his way to block, to hide, to protect, to blot out all of our sins, to protect us from those serpents, from the devil, from wormwood, however you want to call it. Now, the devil says that the text tells us at the very end of Luke, of this little section, that the devil retreated until the opportune time. Did you hear that? Well, there was an opportune time. It's the crucifixion. And the devil thought that he was going to get the last word over our Lord and Savior. He thought that sin would conquer God, in other words. And so Jesus let him believe that. He went to the cross and took all of our sins onto his broken body, giving us total absolution, freedom. When we think about WWJD, just remember that his broken body, it's what did Jesus do? What he did was he took sin on his body. The sins of the world, your sins, my sins, and he washed them clean. Amen.